The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parasha is Parshas Bahalei Shechor. In the Parsha, Bahalei Shechor Perek Yud, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, and Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Asi lecho shtei chatzetzeres kesef, make for yourself two trumpets of silver, miksho ta'ase esom, they should be all of one piece. Voyu lecho lemikro edo, what will they be for? They'll be to call together the congregation, and also to give the signal when the camps should break camp and start to march. We had in the previous parashas how all of the Shvatim, the tribes, camped in the desert and how they marched. Vesokul Bahein, and you shall blow in them. Sokul is from the word tekiyo. And this will be a signal for all of the community, all of the congregation, to come to the Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan, when you want to speak to them. And if you'll blow in just one of them, not both of them, then this will be a sign, a signal, for the prince, the head of every Shevet, to come and to speak with you. Huskatem Trua, and if you'll blow a Trua, Venoso Amachanes Achenim Kedmo, this will be the signal for the camps which camp on the east side. That was Reuben, that was Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun, that they camp on the east side, which was up front, and they would break camp first. It would be time for them to break camp. Uskatem trua shenis, and you will blow a second trua. Benoso amachanais hachenim teimono. Then it will be a sign for the next campsite, which was camped on the south. They would break camp. Trua yiskula masehem. You shall blow the truas when it's time for them to journey. Uvahake les akohol. And when you want to gather them all together, tisku velesoriu, then you shall just blow a tekia. That was a pshuta. That was a plain blast, and not a trua. Uvenei arena kohanim yisku bechatzetzeres. Who shall blow these trumpets? The kohanim. Voyu lachem lechukas elam ledeiraseichem. This will be a statute for them for always. Vechisavou milchoma beatzechem, and when a war will come to your land, alatzara tzera eschem, and this could mean that your enemies will come up against you, but it also means alatzara tzera eschem, when any great sorrow comes to Klal Yisrael, then also you should blow in the trumpets. Bahare eisem bechatzetzeres, v'nizkartem livnei Hashem elokeichem, and you will be remembered by Hashem, your God, and He will save you from your enemies. And on the days of your rejoicing, and your Yom Tovim, and Rosh Chodesh, you shall blow in the trumpets, al eleseichem, al zivchei shalmeichem, on the burnt offerings, and on the Shlomim, the peace offerings. This refers to the Korbanai Tzibur, to the sacrifices that were brought by the entire Tzibur, the entire nation. And this will be for a remembrance before your God. I am the Lord your God. Here we have the mitzvah of the Chatzetzeres, of the two silver trumpets, which Moshe was commanded to make. And four times, according to what we just read, these chatzetzeres, these trumpets, were used. Lemikro, to call the people together, both are Edo, the entire nation, or Hanasim, or to call together the heads of all of the Shvatim, of the tribes. Secondly, Lamasa, when it came time to break camp and to start the journey. Thirdly, Be'es Tzara, when there was a time of trouble or a danger for the entire nation, for the Tzibur. And in the Beis Hamikdash, Al Korbonos HaTzibur, when the sacrifices of the Tzibur were being brought. And the Torah there states, Biyom Simchaschem, on the days of your rejoicing. Now the Sifri says, what does Simchaschem refer to? It says Shabbosos, that refers to Shabbos. Uvamoadechem, and on your Yomim Tovim, Uvaroshe Chodshechem, and on Reish Chodesh. The simple meaning from what we have just learned would be that the mitzvah, when the sacrifices were brought, outside of the special occasions which were mentioned, would be dafke specifically on those days. However, the chinuch in mitzvah shin pei dalet, his opinion is, and he derives this from Gemara's, that it was a mitzvah on the kohanim to blow the trumpets every day. When the korbanos tzibur, when the public sacrifices were being brought, and it's also his opinion that is the opinion of the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash Perek Gimel. Except he says from the Rambam, it could seem that on the day specifically mentioned here, Shabbos, Yontif, and Rosh Chodesh, then it was a mitzvah on the Kahanim. The other days, the Levim also could. Sometimes, according to what we had just read, they would blow only in one trumpet, on one trumpet, sometimes on two. Sometimes, depending on what sign, what signal they wanted to give. Sometimes, according to the Ksubim, what we just read, they would blow a tkiah. A tekiah was the pshuta, that was the long, unbroken blast. Sometimes they would blow the trua, which would be the broken blast, like we do on Rosh Hashanah. And when there was a trua, there was always a tekiah milfoneo and a tekiah lachareho, always the long, unbroken blast preceding it and following it. Actually, from the Gemaras, we derive that these were the minimum. This was the minimum. But the Gemara brings an erechin that ein peischin la'elam bebigdush mishtecha tzaitzreis v'le mesifin al kufchof, that in the Beis HaMikdash they had to have at least these two trumpets, but they could have as many as up to 120 trumpets. Secondly, in the Beis HaMikdash, when they would blow on the sacrifices, for the sacrifices. So the Gemara also tells us, that first was the Gemara Nerechin and Yud Aleph, and there's a Gemara Nerechin Mem Gimel, which would tell us that Ein Peischin Michof Aleph Tekiyais B'Mikdash V'Lei Mesifin Al Mem Ches, that in total there would be 21 Tekiyas in the Beis HaMikdash, and not more than 48. So it was very elaborate. The explanation given for this mitzvah, Rashi brings, Shiotelkin lefonecho kemelech, vayi bishurin melech, that we would blow the trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash, like you would find by royalty. And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king, and he's amongst us, and therefore we would blow the trumpets. There's a well, we can ask a question though. As we mentioned, the trumpets would be blown to gather all of the thousands of people together, or when it came time for the thousands and thousands of people to journey, or by the sacrifices. And this was great. This was done with great luster and great glory. This was royalty. But there was another time that the Torah tells us that we must blow the trumpets, which we mentioned, and that was Be'eis Sora, that it states that V'chisavol milchoma bi'artzechem al atzar hatzore eschem, when war will come to your land, or there would be other tzores in your land, v'harei osem v'chatzetzereis, you should blow the trumpets. What was the purpose then? Now let us say, following in the psukim, v'niskartem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, v'neishatem eveichem, you will be remembered before Hashem your God, and He will save you from your enemies. But why should the blowing of the trumpets make us be remembered before Hashem, and why, just because we blow on the trumpets, He should save us from our enemies? Now there's a simple meaning given to this in the Sefer HaChinuch. It's the Sefer HaChinuch writes all of the time, but he's not coming to give at all the entire meanings of the mitzvah, but just simple meanings which would help us understand them a bit better. And this is in Mitzvah Shin Pei Dalet, in this Sedra. The reasons that he gives are very nice reasons. He says as follows. During the time of the sacrifice, or certainly when we have an Eis Tzora, Tzrichin Lechaven Daitem Yofe Binyonei, we have to give our full heart and attention to it in order that our intent should be Shleimus. Especially if he comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he wants to ask Rachamim, compassion from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Eis Tzora, then we need great intent and great heart and feeling and meaning. And therefore we were commanded in the key of these Chatzetzeres, because being that a person is made from the Chaymer, a Baal Chaymer is made from the earth, and by Teva, by his nature, is ki yoshon domi. He's always asleep. If he's not physically asleep, he's mentally asleep. If he's not mentally asleep, he's emotionally asleep. This is the nature of man. And he needs something to awaken him. And he said that there is nothing more that can waken a person than keles hanigun, than beautiful sounds, like music. Actually, lahabdil, the armies used to always play marching music. When the troops would go out to battle, that would awaken them. Kol Shkein, and certainly the Kol HaChatzetzeres, the sounds of the trumpets, Shehu HaKol HaGodol Shebechol Kli Nigun, which is the shrillest and the loudest sound of all of the musical instruments. So therefore, this brings a person out of his mundane world, lifts him up, and then he's able to give his entire intent to what is taking place. So this would be the tam haproshut, the simple meaning. But it's still a little difficult to understand why should that, although we could say that once he's awakened, then he can give his emotions, his mind, his heart to it, and be mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, though, gives a much stronger reason. The Rambam in Hilchas, in the beginning of Hilchas Tainus, says as follows. Mitzvah esei min ha-Torah, it's a positive commandment in the Torah, lizayk ulariya b'chatzetzreis al kol tzora shetove al ha-tzibur. That whenever there's a tzora, it's trouble that comes to the tzibur, to the nation, to the community, then it's a mitzvah to go and to cry out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to blow on the chatzetzreis, on the trumpets. As it states, Al Atzor Atzire Eschem Bahare Osem Bechatzetzreis. Kleimar, Al Dovashi Yetza Alochem, on any national tzora, for example, Betzuras, if it's a drought, Dever, if it's a plague, Arbe, locusts, or like the Torah says, if it's foreign armies, heaven forbid, Yetza Behen, Zaku Alehen, cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lohariu, and blow on the trumpets. Actually, on this particular day, naturally we cannot blow on the trumpets by the korbanos, by the sacrifices today, or by the degolim, by the marchings, because we don't have that. But the tzoras we have today, so we could actually blow on the trumpets. We never see it, but it seems the opinion of the Rambam, it's a question in the Rishonim, that even today, you must blow on the trumpets. In December, I was by the Kotel, and there was a large group, I believe it was Sfardim, that came there, and they came with trumpets. This would be according to the opinion of the Rambam. They came with two trumpets. Now, why should we do this? Dover zemi darki atshuvahu. He says, because this is the way of tshuva. Because when a tzora will come and we cry out to Hashem and we blow the trumpets, yedu akol, and everyone will know, shebiglal maaseim oroim horalen, that it is because of our deeds these tzoras is coming. Kekosu, like it states in the Torah, avaneseichem hitu, it was our averos that have brought this upon us. And if a person, if people will understand that it is their deeds that bring on the tzoras, then from there they will understand that by changing their deeds, they can change the tzoras, the problems, into good things. But if we do not cry to Hashem and we do not blow on the trumpets, but we say that these are just natural events. But tzorazu nikras, nikor nikras. And we'll say that these tzoras, they happen to come. Hurricanes have to take place, and floods have to take place, and earthquakes have to take place, and good years take place, and bad years take place, and wars take place. So these are things which are out of our control. There's nothing you can do about them. If that's how people will think, Arezu derech hagzorius. He says, not only is this an avera, but he says, this is cruelty. Why? Because gorm geremes lem lidovek b'maaseh maroim, they will not do anything about it, and they won't change their ways. And meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing these things upon us because of our evil ways. So we will carry on with our evil ways. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to bring more tzoras on us, heaven forbid. V'tosif ha-tzora tzoras acheres. He will have to bring additional tzoras. Hu shekosev b'Torah, and this is what is written in the Torah, in the Tochochas, in the rebukes, v'halaktemi mikeri, that if you will walk with me, after I bring upon you so much problem, so many problems, you will walk with me b'keri. What does it mean, b'keri? Keri mikro means these are just coincidental happenings. What's happening now in this place is coincidental. It's miminhog or olam. It's just the way of the world. Malachtem agamani imachem bechamas keri. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will also walk with you that way. Klaima kishovi alechem tzore kedesh shetoshuvu, that when I bring upon you a tzor in order that you should do tshuva, Im temru shikeri, if you will say that these are merely coincidence, esiv lachem chamas esekeri, I will bring more upon it. So the Rambam says that if we do not attribute these acts, these happenings to our acts, he says not only is it an avera, but it's axorius, it's cruel, because we carry on with our evil acts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just be Maisi if he will add more tzoros and more tzoros. Now what is the Rambam saying? He's actually telling us something, a dover godel meod, something which is very, very meaningful. It's the nature of the person that when a tzora comes, in particular, if it's a tzoros hatzibor, if it's a national calamity, if it's something that it's happening to him personally, that many times he will have introspection and he will wonder, what am I doing wrong? But when something big comes, that happens to the world, that happens to nations, or happens to Klal Yisrael or whatever, or to great segments of the population, he will feel, what does this have to do with me? So what can I do about it? I can't do anything about it except read the newspaper and listen to the radio. So he'll carry on. The emes is, the truth is, though, what the Rambam is saying, that it's not apik, it's just the opposite. No tzora comes on Klal Yisrael because of a coincidence, because of Kein Hu Minaga Elam. This is the way of the world. Everything that comes upon Klal Yisrael is from the Maase of B'nai Yisrael, is from the deeds of the B'nai Yisrael. And it's the purpose of the Chatzai Tzareis to bring this message home. If great calamities happen and we do nothing about it, so then we carry on doing nothing about it. But if we are commanded to go and bring out the Chatzai Tzareis, the trumpets, and with everything that went with it, and cry out to Hashem and blow the Chatzai Tzareis, then it brings home to us that the deeds are not something from beyond us, the tzoros are not something from beyond us, but they are the fruits of our acts. And therefore, it brings home to us that if they are the fruits of our acts, then we must change our acts. And that's what it means, v'harei osem b'chatzei tzareis, v'nizkartem livnei Hashem, and then you will be remembered before Hashem because you will realize why it's coming and you will change the acts, v'nishatem ayveihem, and then I will save you from your enemies. The Rambam is telling us how great the human being is. That not only do his averus bring tzoros on Klal Yisrael, but it's within his reach to rule over the tzoros. It is within the hands of Klal Yisrael as a nation or as individuals to rule over the tzoros, even great tzoros. When there are great calamities in the world, the power to control them is not by the great capitals of the world and is not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The powers to control them were given to the individual. From here we see Morav Keche, the greatness of the individual, that he governs what happens in the world. And this is what the Chatzai Tzareis tell us. Someone once wrote, it's been written by a number of people in various words, but it goes something like this. There are those individuals who observe and study, and some even write about history. Then there are those who are the pawns and victims of history, then there are those who make history. Or there are those who observe what happens. There are those who always talk and write about what happens. And then there are those who things always seem to happen to them. And then there are those who make things happen. We worship too much those who write about history, historians, or those who observe history, or those who report history, which is the gigantic media. We should concern ourselves more about those who make history. Those who write history, they play a very, very, very tiny role in compared to those who make the history that they're writing about. But usually we think to make history, you have to be a George Washington, you have to be an Abe Lincoln. Torah tells us not like that. Every Jew, it's within his grasp to make history. And that's what we must concentrate on. Not to be the victims of history, and not to be the observers of history, and not to be the talkers about history, but rather to concentrate on making history. And it's the acts of the Jew which make the history. And that's what the Chatzetzrais are telling us. It's very important, though, in this vein, to be careful of another pitfall. And generally, when a person realizes that it's the fault of the people when problems are coming, so he usually points a finger. Say, it's because they're doing like that, or he's doing like this. Torah didn't tell us to point fingers. The Torah said, "Kshet atzmecha tchila." Point the finger at yourself first. Don't look at the others. If we see tzoras in the world, then we have to do something about it. But don't concern yourself about what others are doing or not doing. Concern yourself about what you are doing or that you are not doing. Actually, my Rebbe Rav Gifter, this was a theme that he would often talk about. For example, he would quote a Yushalmi in, I believe, Perek Hareya, which would state, Hareya dor shenishayshu min ha-Torah lech v'yishchazik b'Torah. If a person sees a generation which has left Torah, or a generation that has been giving up the learning of Torah, so it says, you go and strengthen your Torah. He says, it didn't say you should go and strengthen other people's Torah. It didn't say you should go and worry about what the others are not doing. That's also important. But the first thing it said, if you see something weak in the world, strengthen yourself in it. That's what our Chazal say all of the time. Kshet atzmecha tchila ve'achakach kshet acherim. First, improve yourself. Then you can think about improving others. He used to say further, he used to say that in the Beis HaMedrash, if two people are learning v'chavrusu, and a third person is sitting next to them, and he's wasting his time, so what would one say generally? Well, the third person is not a very great person. He would say that's a sign that the two are not learning. Because if the two people that were learning the way Torah should be learned, it would be impossible for a third person to be sitting next to them and wasting his time. Different perspective. Say, totally different perspective. The perspective of most people is I'm learning, he's battling, he's wasting his time. I'm the chosid, and he's the avarian. He said, no, you're the avarian. Because how is it possible for two people to be sitting and learning Torah and a third person sitting and wasting his time? If they were learning Torah the way they should, there should be a fire there. Many times I see it. Two people are learning very well, and one or other two people come along and they got something to talk about. They look at the two learning, they said, let's go out of the base of Medrash, we can't talk here. It's a different thing. Right? Now that same theme, actually he spoke once, he spoke many times, but spoke once at the Siyum HaShas of the Daf Yomi. That this is the Daf Yomi where people would learn a Blat Gemara every day, and in the 7-year cycle finished all Shas. And they had a great celebration in Madison Square Garden. I think 10,000 to 20,000 people came in New York. And many of the Rosh Hashivas and Deilei Rabbanim were speakers. So everyone lauded how many people came and how many people are involved in learning a Blat Gemara every day. What America's coming to. When he spoke, he also lauded that. But he said, if there are so many people who are on that level where they can learn a Daf Gemara every day, then they have to ask themselves the question. He says, the Shashin, Jews that learn Shas, are they on the level of Jews that are Shashin, that learn Shas? Are their mitzvahs also on that level? Is their guarding themselves from Lashon Hara also on that level? Are their business ethics also on that level? And everybody was speaking that how large the Torah community has grown, and look at the other secular community that has not grown. He says, this is a kasha, it's a question. How can the Torah community grow so large and not have an effect on the secular community? If they're to the level of Shas Jews. This was the same thing. So, when we see Tzoros, we first have to look at ourselves. Unfortunately, we have the same situation in Eretz Yisrael today. We have enormous Tzoros in Eretz Yisrael today. And again, many times you hear people, they're pointing the fingers. It's coming because, not because of us, because of them. Because of them. Can't be because of us. Because look how great the Torah community is today, the Machna Torah. But there's a question. Eretz Yisrael is almost divided right down the middle. You have about half the population that are Shemrei Torah and mitzvahs to seemingly enormous levels. And then you got about half the population that are almost on a level where they have nothing to do with Torah's Mesha. And they sit side by side. They live right together. So we can point the finger to the other community. When two people were learning and a third was sitting and wasting his time next to him, the gifter would point his finger at the two that were learning. So therefore, the mitzvah, the Chatzetz race, was not to point fingers, but first to look at yourself. The Mishnah Novice in Perek Hei, Mishnah Ches, In some nuschos, it's Perikei Mishnah Yud Aleph. Carries on with this theme. It states like this: Shiva mine pronias, pronias boin la ilum. Now again, here it's speaking not on personal problems, but on national or international calamities. This is Perikei. It's either Mishnah Ches or Mishnah and somebody, they're not all numbered the same. It could be up to Mishnah Yud Aleph and some. There are seven types of calamities which heaven forbid can come to the world. Now, we know, you open a newspaper, you look at, listen to the radio, you see CNN, that's all you hear. That here was an earthquake, and here was a fire, and here was war. So the Mishnah tells us there are seven different types of calamities that can come to the world. Now, when we hear this, or we see it, what does it mean? What can we do? Well, I'm going to go stop floods and hurricanes and fires and war. The Mishnah says, "Al shiva gufei avera," because of seven averas. It's telling us the halacha of the chatzetzeres. These national calamities that happen, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu just brings them, but it's the deeds of the people that bring them. Al shiva gufei avera, and again, not to point the fingers to the other people. Now, it lists off all seven. You have famines and plague and wild beasts and sword and so forth. We don't have time to go through all of them this evening, but we'll mention the first three. The first three is that are mentioned are Rav Shel Betzuras, that's Miksosin Re'evin, Miksosin Sevein, drought, a drought which affects some of the people, but not all of the people, drought and famine. Rashi actually brings where, because there'll be shortages, so there'll be enormous inflation. Secondly, Harov Shel Mahuma, that's a drought and famine that will bring panic to the world. It's a very serious situation. And the third is, heaven forbid, Rav Shel Kliya, that will be a devastating drought and famine. So those are the first three that I mentioned. On what avedas do they come? The first one comes when it's miksosin ma'asrin or miksosin einon ma'asrin. Some people will give their miser. Miser was this is referring in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh. So the ma'aser was the tenth of the crops which were given to the Levim. So some would give the maisers, but some won't. So this would bring a partial famine. The second one, in other words, the more serious famine, that would be where Gomru Shalela Asir, where in total they would not give them Aisir. The third Tzora was the Rav Shel Mahuma, that was the devastating famine, that was because Shalelitel Esachalo, where they did not keep the mitzvah of challah. What was the mitzvah of challah? Now the mitzvah of challah is not to take a piece of challah and burn it. The mitzvah of challah during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh in Eretz Yisrael was to, from all of the bread that was made, a portion must be given to the Kahanim. This was parnoso, sustenance for the Kahanim. Today, we burn it for different reasons, because it had to be tohor. You have to be in a state of purity, and we're not in a state of purity. And today there's no mitzvah in our Torah. It's only as a remembrance of the mitzvah. But the mitzvah, challah, was to give part of your baking of bread to the kohanim. So when that was neglected, that brought this famine. Now it seems here that klepzik nixu zusammen. The one thing has nothing to do with the other. So the Maral goes into a very, very deep explanation, a beautiful explanation. He says, firstly, he says, you should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, a good world. And he created a world b'shlemus, in totality. And calamities such as these, this is something which is very foreign and very alien to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. These are total imperfections. The world was made where the rains should come in the proper time, and they should stop in the proper times, and the weather system should be proper, and so on. When something like this happens, these are imperfections in the machinery of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. This is a yetziah min haseder. This is a deviation from his perfection. And this can only happen because there was a deviation in the acts of people. Otherwise it would not happen. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not create a world that would go haywire. The reason why it states Shiva Mine Puranias, there are seven. What is the significance of seven? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created seven bounds, seven parameters to the world to keep it straight and perfect. And this is connected to Shiva Shemei Bereishis, because it took him 7 days to create the world. And these are the seven mitzvahs, Shiva Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Neach. These are the seven negative commandments which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the sons of Neach. Each one is a shmira. Each one guards them that they should not go off the straight path. Last week we spoke about the Taryag Mitzvah 613, the Shesan Ramach 365 and 248 negative commandments and positive commandments in regards to the Hilo Chachama, the orbit of the sun and so forth. That was perfections amidst perfections. Further perfections that were given to Klal Yisrael. But the world basically has seven guardrails, and they're built on these mitzvahs. And the seven is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with seven levels during the 7 days of creation. But if people do not keep their mitzvahs, then we find that there are seven possible calamities, heaven forbid, that can come to the world. Now, these three that we just mentioned, they come on the Averis because the people did not keep Maisa V'Chalo, the giving of the 10% of the crops and the mitzvah of Chalo. What did this represent? This was Parnoso for the Levim and the Kahanim. Because the Levim and the Kahanim was Ein Bot Lohem Nachlo Be'eretz Be'Yisrael. When we came in and inherited the land, everyone got a portion. But the Levim and the Kahanim did not. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, the rest of Klal Yisrael, they'll have their parnoso, their sustenance from the land which was given to them. They'll have to take a portion of that produce, and give it to the Kahanim and the Levim, so they will have parnoso. If they withhold the parnoso from the Kahanim and the Levim, then we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds parnoso from the world. And that's why we find that when they withheld the Maaser, if part of them withheld and part of them not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld. So it was a partial famine. If all of them withheld, then it was a total famine. If all of them withheld the challah, then it was a calamity. It was a famine of devastation. Now, now we can. What is the significance of this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest chesed to the world, his greatest brocha that he gives the world, is panosa. This is what sustains the human being. And here's, when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his chesed, and we say the Hoda Lashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo, we have all of the Hodos. There are 15 Hodos. The final one that we say is Nesein Lechem Lechol Basor Ki Le'olam Chasdo. He gives Lechem to everyone. This is his greatest brocha. So his chesed is that he gives forth to the world brocha and panoso. That's his chesed. When he created the world, though, he created a world. This is a very important principle. He said that if you will do chesed, then I will do chesed. If you will not do chesed, then I will not do chesed. He said, my chesed will be contingent on yours, because I want a world of chesed, of giving. And that's why it says in Tilim, Amarti Olam Chesed Yibone. I said I will create a world of generosity and giving. So he said, my brocha to the world is contingent on your goodness to others. If you will give brocha and chesed to others, then I will give to you. But if not, not. That's why the Gemara Darshans in Masech Tainestav Tes Omer Aleph Aser, it says in the Posuk Aser to Aser, that you shall give from your crops to the Levim. Why the double language? Aser Kadesh Asher, give in order that you will become wealthy from it. We all know you give tzedakah, you become wealthy from it. Why? Because when you do chesed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do chesed corresponding to that, or even more. The Gemara Masechet Maid Koton, Davchov Ches Omer Beis Demaral brings. Then the Maid Koton, it states, the Kovar Yakbireini. Someone who is zealous in taking care of people to see that they're buried. For example, he's a member of the Hever Kaddisha. Then he can be assured that he will have a good burial. If someone is zealous in giving good hespedim for other people, then he can be assured that he will have a good hesped. But the Gemara is bringing out that the chesed that you do will come back, because this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Amarti Olam Chesed Yiboneh. I want to create a world of chesed. And therefore, he created this world so he could give to it, but he said, this will be contingent on your giving in it. So therefore, if you withhold chesed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to withhold it. We could ask the question, though, why do we find that when it comes to the withholding of the maestros, that only brought partial famines, or famines that were not totally devastating. But when it came to withholding of the mitzvah of challah, that brought a devastation. And that the Maral writes, because the challah, the bread, is the Iker Parnosa Shel Adam. That's his mainstay. Always says many psukim, lechem levad enosh yisod. Bread is the staff of life. This is what stabilizes the heart of man. So the maestros, it's true it was grain, but it wasn't bread. It was maestros were given on the gonka sireshko vitzorecho, on the wine and on the oil. That was important to man. But that was not his, his very life didn't depend on it. So that's why when those were withheld, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring partial famines. But when the bread that they were supposed to give to the Kohanim was withheld, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a total devastating famine. With this, he explains a medrash which is seemingly very strange. The medrash in Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah Perek Aleph, states, "Bishus Gimel Dvorim Nivra Olam." In the merit of three things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In the merit of the mitzvah of challah, the mitzvah of maaser, and the mitzvah of bikurim. Bikurim were the first fruits that you would give to the Kohanim. And the Medrash brings, how do we know this? Because by all three is it written Reishis, the word Reishis, Reishis the Goncha, and so forth. And when Hashem created the world, it states Bereishis. So therefore they darshan that in the merit of these three mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. This doesn't seem to make sense. What does it mean in the merit of these three mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world? The Maharal explains as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to give bracha to the world. He wanted to give of his goodness to the world. And this is why we brought a number of times that when he looked for the proper letter to start the world with, he used the beis. Because he said the beis stands for bracha. You write the word bracha with the beis. And creation is a bracha. What is creation? Growth and expansion, that's what bracha is. He says, therefore I need the beis. So his purpose in the creation of the world was to bring bracha to man. But as mentioned, he can only bring bracha to man if man will bring bracha to others. Because he said, I want a world of chesed. So he had to give man the opportunity to bring a total bracha to others in order that he could fulfill his purpose of bringing bracha to the world, which was the purpose of the world. So the opportunities he gave him were these three mitzvahs. The mitzvah of the maestros, the mitzvah of challah to the kohanim, the mitzvah of the maestros, and the mitzvahs of bikurim. Now why these three? Why isn't one sufficient? The mitzvah of challah gives the person the opportunity to bring the bracha to the next person that his life relies upon. Bread is what man relies upon. This in turn would allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring bracha to the world and that what we need, we rely upon. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't satisfied with that. He didn't want merely a world where we have what we need for our very existence. He wanted to give us other things also. So therefore, he gave Klal Yisrael a second mitzvah, the mitzvah of maestros. Maestros is given not only on the crops, but also the goncho v'sireishcho, sireishcho v'itzorecho, also on the wine and the oil. Wine and oil is something that we could live without, but it wouldn't be a very pleasant world without it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a total bracha to the world. A bracha, a world with wine and oil also. So he gave to Klal Yisrael the mitzvah, a maestra, where they can give such a bracha to the levim. They give them from their wine and from the oil, besides from their grain. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't satisfied with that either. Because, all right, now we have what we need, and we even have more than that, which makes the world very livable. But we don't have tanugim. We don't have luxury. Wine and oil was not considered a luxury. That was considered very pleasant, but not a luxury. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a bracha to the world where it would be a luxurious world also. Therefore he gave to Klal Yisrael a third mitzvah, bikurim. What was the bikurim? The first fruits. And in addition to the first fruits of the grape and of the olive for the wine and the oil. There was the pomegranate, and there was the fig, and the date. Now, if we had our bread, we wouldn't need the figs and the dates. If we had our bread and our oil and our wine, we certainly wouldn't need the figs and the dates and the pomegranates. So why did they come? Actually, the Gemara brings that the figs and dates were eaten the kinuach suda as desserts, because they were very, very sweet. It was a tanuk. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a bracha, he gives a total bracha. He wanted a world that would have luxuries in it also, sweets in it also. And that can only come if you have people that say, look, I have to give the poor man some bread, but wine he'll do without. Right? You have another person that says, look, give him a bottle of wine also. But luxuries, no. That's not a full bracha. He wanted people, when they give what he needs, and then they give him even more than he needs. Then they give him luxuries also. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give a full bracha to the world, and this is why he created the world, to do tov to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tev is endless. So that's what the Medrash means when it states, B'shus gimel dvorim nivra olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the merit of three mitzvahs which he gave to Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah of giving the challah, the mitzvah of giving the maaser, and the mitzvah of giving the bikurim, the first fruits. Because this is the opportunity where they can give a total bracha to others and then create that world of chesed, where in turn he will give a total bracha and chesed to the world. And that's why he needed all three. This is how he explains that medrash. So, now we can see what happens. What happens if you have a world all of a sudden that the first fruits, the fruits are a failure, where people are poor and they can't afford these luxuries. And not only that, but they can't even afford the wine and the oil, or people are starving. Now this is not the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. His bracha is a bracha shlema. So there's something which is holding back that bracha shlema. And that's because the people are not giving bracha. So that's why the Chazal say that when you see in the world there's starvation, when you see famine, then it's coming. It's not coming because it has to be like that, or the farmers' almanac says that the cycle has to be, or so forth. May happen now. I remember it wasn't long ago when we were suffering from enormous drought here in South Africa. Enormous drought. They were getting ready to truck up water to Johannesburg. And Durban had enormous restrictions. And they came out and said, the farmer's almanac said that we're in for six dry years. And the Chazal say, the Gshomim have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Val Dam, which is supposed to be an enormous dam, holds endless amount of water. Was down to about, oh, I think it was down to 10 or 11% full. And Johannesburg area, Gauteng, was using up 1% of water per month. And the winter was coming. And they said that if we don't have rain soon, so then we'll use up another few percent, and then you'll have 3-4% of dry weather. This will be a calamity. And then they said in the papers that even if the rains come, it'll take a few years of solid rains to fill up the dams again, especially the Val. And I remember then I went overseas to visit my parents. America, it was December. And I came back, and as I left, I think they said it started to rain. And I came back, and then we went on a holiday. So it was about 1 month later. In a hotel, turn on the television. The news said that there's going to be a special ceremony at the Val Dam, because they have to open the sluice gates, because there's been so much rain in the last 5 weeks that the dam is over 100% full. And they have to open the sluice gates, and they don't even know if they'll open it because they can't remember the last time they opened them. And they were having a big celebration. So you see, and since then, Baruch Hashem, the dams have been full in South Africa. So you see what the Farmer's Almanac is worth. Now, so this is what the Mishnah is telling us. That when we see, heaven forbid, calamities in the world, we have to look at ourselves. And this is the mitzvah of the Chatzetz Reis, where it states, Kisavo milchoma ba'atzechem ala tzora tzereschem ba'harei esem v'chatzetz reis. You should blow on the trumpets. And like the Rambam says, this is what the trumpets will tell us. V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem elokeichem v'neishatem me'aveichem. And you will be remembered before Hashem, your God, and He will save you from your enemies. Please God, we should see Yeshua's to Israel the Korah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.